Can't do anything until I get the camera set up. Hey, what's going on, San Diego? Good to chat with you. Happy Monday afternoon to you. Another week of Gwen and Chris kicks off. It'll be a short week, but a full show. A full 4 hours today. When is the last time we had a four-hour show? Got a little extra rest before this one today. Tony Gwynn Jr. is joining us from Dallas, Texas, or nearby Dallas. Not exactly sure what city limits he's in, but he's there with the Padres after a fine weekend, Scraby. The Padres did come up a little short of completing the Boston Massacre.
Oh, wow.
But they certainly got the start to the Boston Massacre with the blowout wins on Friday and Saturday.
Oh, man, look at Tony. He is sitting on a couch right now.
Tony Gwynn Jr. looks like he is stressed out. I don't know if he can hear me, though. He's not reacting to anything I'm saying. Oh, there he is. There you are.
No, I'm sorry. I was just listening. I was listening to your opening salvo. For the Padres in their weekend. It was a good weekend.
Absolutely.
A lot of offense, a lot of guys swinging a bat well, some good pitching. That's an all-around good series. They beat a good Red Sox team that I think is overachieving, too, at this point. Well, going into that series, at least.
Well, the Padres are no longer underachieving. I've been begging for one stretch, Tony, just one big stretch where they win 10 out of 12 games. Well, guess what? They've won 9 out of 11, so they're close to that.
Yeah.
And
they got you that five straight finally.
Got us to five straight. We got a couple of series sweeps, and we've got a good start to this road trip with things finishing up in Texas, three games starting tomorrow. And then they'll be back home to finish things off before the All-Star break, and certainly a good chance to put themselves in great position. I think what everybody wants to know, the answer to this question, and I don't think we have it, but how in the world are the Padres seemingly performing better with so many players not healthy? And that's the craziest probably thing about all of this. I guess the answer to that question is, well, Jackson Merrill is healthy and Kyle Higashioka is healthy, and that's enough to get the job done right now. Not that they're doing it by themselves, but my goodness, Jackson Merrill is one of the hardest outs in baseball right now, Tony.
Yeah, I don't think it matters how they're doing it. It's just that they're doing it.
Yeah.
No one needs to care about how it's happening. I tell you the one thing that's different, it's not Jackson Merrill, it's not Kyle Higashioka, it's Manny Machado is swinging the bat like the Manny we've grown accustomed to. And that's really the only thing that has changed in this. Jackson Merrill has been doing Jackson Merrill all season long. The same can be said for Jerickson Profar. You know, the same can be said for, a couple guys in this lineup that have been having good seasons. Jake Cronenworth, one of those guys. The difference is that Manny is now looking like Manny. Two-homer day, three-homer weekend. That's Manny-type stuff. I mean, he was hitting over 400 going into that game yesterday against the Red Sox. So that is the thing that has changed. And you know, you can make the argument that even before he got going, before Tati got hurt, he had started to go. And so when you get those guys playing at their best, this is why they get paid the big bucks, because it's a difference making thing, right? Padres have been playing 500 all season. The difference is Manny got hot, and now it's they had ran off five straight there, and so that's why they're difference makers, you know, when they get going.
I feel like such a dummy. I really do. I mean, I told myself at least 45 times the first 2.5 months of the season. In fact, I said it on the show probably a dozen times during the first 2.5 months of the season, and that was, do not worry about Manny Machado. When all is said and done, he will have his Manny Machado type season. But I got to be honest with you, Tony, I worried anyway. And, you know,
I think that's normal, though.
Yeah, I know.
I think that's normal. But, I mean, you know, when he's coming off of elbow surgery, he, you know, got back early on that. You know, when you're watching him, he didn't look right. And I would say that he started to look a lot better. You know, it's hard to really connect it because it's never as though he looked like he was favoring his elbow. And he certainly didn't say his elbow was hurting. But you get back that soon. But about a month and a half, 2 months earlier than what was originally projected. That's covering a lot of time. It's not like it came back a couple weeks early. That's a full 2 months early. And I think he's just, to me, when I've watched him here as of late, his lower half and his upper half look to be like synced up perfectly right now. And so you just hope that this is, this is what we're going to see. I mean, I looked up the other day and it was like, it wasn't a surprise, but you look up, you see 270, 10, and 45. The homers and RBIs are probably a little bit behind what he normally is, but that 270 mark is his career. So, you know, if this is what we're going to get the rest of the way, the Padres are going to continue to look the way they look.
Yeah, four home runs, 12 RBIs in his last.
Assuming everything else holds.
Yeah, in his last 10 games, hit .333, 30 for 90 in the month of June. You got to throw in that hip injury that he had too, Tony. I mean, when he had that and went down with that, and you added it to his elbow woes, and then you added it to the fact that he came out in a rare article in which he actually expressed some concern himself, right? I mean, this is one of the very few times you ever hear Manny Machado say, you know, I'm missing piss. He didn't. I don't want to say he expressed concern, but he expressed frustration. That's a better word for it.
Yeah.
You know, said there's pitches that I'm normally get to and I'm not getting to them and it's driving me crazy. And, you know, then pretty much after that, you know, you started seeing some 2 for 3, some 4 for 5, some 2 for 4. You know, like you said, a couple of home runs, 5 RBIs, 3 RBIs, just hitting line drives, going the other way, becoming a threat, and, you know, the threat that we're used to seeing. So, yeah, it was a great weekend. Yeah, I mean, Jackson Merrill, another thing, Tony. I mean, this guy, I don't know why. I mean, I whenever I see Fenway Park, I think back to the Red Sox, and I always think a lot about Fred Lynn. He was one of my all-time favorites growing up, and I know that he's, you know, now lives in San Diego, and love to try to track him down one day, producer. Fred Lynn, think he'd be a great, great guest on the show.
Yeah, I can let you know how to reach out if you want.
Huh? You let me know how to reach out?
Yeah, okay, I mean, well, self-starter, self-starter.
Tell me how to reach out. I'll reach out to Fred Lynn.
I just kidding. I just those guys are hard to find, but we can find them.
I know they're hard to find.
We can find them.
I think he'd be, you know, somebody that probably wouldn't mind coming on. But you know, 1975. I know. I got to hear Cher. But this guy
was going to spare you it, but now.
He was the rookie of the year and the MVP in the same season. Now, I tweeted that out over the weekend, and I said, you know, Jackson Merrill is kind of making me think about Fred Lynn. A lot of people wrote back and said, you're an idiot. He's never going to be the MVP. I didn't say he's going to be the MVP. I just said what he's doing is reminding me of that season that Fred Lynn had when he was a rookie because, you know, I mean, 9 home runs in June. It's more than Tatis has ever done, more than just about anybody's ever done, and 3 hits yesterday. And he's playing great defense. He played that wall out there like he was Fred Lynn, Tony, at Fenway Park, playing caroms perfectly, making running catches in right center field, basket catches. Guy's good. That's all I got.
Yeah, Jackson's good. I mean, there's nothing new here with Jackson. Jackson's just doing what Jackson does. he's just growing. You know, is you know, I think when you get a chance to watch him every day, he's making all the plays that he's supposed to make, and he's getting better offensively. You know, I made this point the other day. You know, Jackson's not a small dude. Like, everybody is, like, so blown away by these homers. Jackson is the same size as Fernando Tatis Jr. Like, when they stand next to each other, they're the same size. So I don't know why it would be out of the realm for him to be able to hit balls the way he has. I think what is maybe surprising is how fast he's figured it out in terms of that. But Jackson is, it's not like Jackson is 5'9", you know, 200 pounds. This dude is long. He's lanky, and you know, he's got a little thumb. You know, 9 homers in the month of July. I mean, excuse me, month of June. Can he continue is he going to continue to hit homers at that rate? A 8 to 9 homer month. That's a big.
Well, then if he does that, he's going to finish with 39 home runs this year if he keeps that pace up. So that might be asking a little much for him to go 39, 30 in stolen bases. But
Jackson,
it's been great.
I keep saying this. Jackson is a winning player. He does winning things. And so that affects, obviously, your team and them having a chance to win. And so he's doing great. It's just fun to watch these guys as a unit. It's not, and I think that's what makes this team enjoyable offensively to watch, is that it's not like done one way. You got a bunch of different styles in the lineup, you know, from Luis Arraez, which is different from Profar, which is different from Cronenworth, which is different from Manny. And it's like that up and down the lineup. You get different flavors. And when their offense is clicking like it has been the past, I don't know, what would we say, about 2 weeks, offense has been going pretty good, week and a half, it's fun offense to watch. This is so much, at least from my vantage point, it's so much better watching. I shouldn't say better, and fun is not a word. It's so much more fun to watch this year's offense versus last year's, the year before. It really, since I've been doing this, I don't know that there's been an offense. I know that 2020 year may pop up in terms of a fun offense to watch, but this offense I think is even better to watch.
Well, you're right. I mean, it starts with Arraez. I mean, getting a base hit almost every time up, and I know he doesn't get a base hit every time up, but it just seems that way. Profar is such a threat right now, and has been all season. Manny is starting to become that, and then Merrill, you know, and then Higashioka has the month that he has. So that takes it all the way from the top, all the way down through the middle, and all the way down to the bottom of the order. So there's not a lot of, you know, place for anybody to rest out there. You know, and this is why you score 20 runs in the first two games of that series. Really, the only thing that shut them down yesterday was about 3 hard hit double play ground balls, because it seemed like every time they were going to get a rally started, somebody hit one on the button right at a, you know, shortstop or something, and that would short-circuit the inning. But, you know, and Waldron, I mean, he got beat by a fastball. Devers, you know, the first one. His knuckleball was so crazy that Higashioka couldn't even catch that one. And then I give Duran credit, because he had a knuckleball out of the ballpark. Maybe that one didn't knuckle as much as the others, but for somebody to square up one of those, I got to give him a lot of credit on that home run. And you know,
he was the toughest out all series. That Duran kid could play, man.
Yeah,
lefty, can go get it in center. He was impressive, and he didn't really do much. He was the one. I mean, they kept him pretty quiet, but Waldron yesterday was one of the first instances he didn't have like either of them working to hit, like, nothing working like to his ability. Like, usually if knuckleball's not working, he go to that sweeper, he go to that fastball, he's commanding. He wasn't really commanding any of it with his, like, at the type of way he needed to. And you know, he had to go to the fastball in the one case to hit the homer. I think it was a sweeper that they scored on. They got a hit on that scored runs on, and then obviously the one of the knuckleballs that didn't do much Duran hit out. But, yeah, I mean, even with that being said, he did pitch horribly.
No, that's what I was going to say.
If what was it 70? What was it 75 pitches or something like that?
Man, I mean, it was four to nothing when he left the game. That's not game over. Yeah. You know, like I said, if that's going to be his bad performance, I'm almost take that. So, look, everything's thumbs up right now for the Padres, and 46-42. You can't rest. A lot of work to do. But for now, things look pretty good. I there's one last thing about Jackson Merrill, because I talked about his defense, and I'm not going to get into the analytics of all of this defense, but I am going to tell you that he's leading the league in games played in center field. So he's been out there more than anybody as a center fielder. Part of that is because the Padres have played all those games. He's second in putouts, means he's caught more balls than everybody but one other player in the league. He's only committed two errors all season for a brand new position, you know, and a lot of times you get an error in center fielder as a center fielder, Tony, just throwing the ball back into the infield. It bounces off a leg somewhere and rolls away, and you get a throwing error. So he's only got two E's. And just on top of that, he's turned four double plays, which leads center fielders. I'm not giving him the gold glove, but what I am saying is,
kind of for sounds his first, like you are.
No, what I'm saying is we put him out there in center field and we were really worried that he wouldn't know what to do out there. And that's turned out to be ridiculous because he's been, you know, when's the last time the ball got hit to center field and anybody was worried about it?
There you go. I can't remember.
I can't either.
I mean,
I'm not giving him the gold glove, though, because I can't. Okay, well, fine. Give him the gold glove then. And give it to Fernando and give it to. And put them all on the All-Star team while you're at it.
Some of you guys may have been wondering why I had my hands on my forehead like that.
I was for yes, it was me. Yeah.
Portugal had a penalty kick, and Mr. Ronaldo got it blocked. And he's having a rough day. Man is in tears right now. So,
oh,
0-0. So, still
sorry to
me.
Hear that.
I digress.
He's crying.
Yeah, no.
Wow, Cristiano.
Yeah, no crying in sports. This,
pull out of it, pal. It's okay.
Pull out of it.
We're just getting started here, buddy. It'll be okay.
All right. We, as usual, have rolled past our starting point.
It's okay.
I just wanted to point it out.
All right. Well, then let's stop this segment right now before it's too late. Gwynn and Chris is underway for a Monday. Full 4 hours, so sit back. We're kind of easing into things. Tell you what's coming up when we come back.
It's a lot of things, but it isn't boring. Join Rob Bradford on his podcast, Baseball Isn't Boring. Every day, Rob takes you through the league and spotlights what makes the game fun. He talks with players, managers, GMs, and reporters, all who shine a light on America's pastime. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring. It's the free Odyssey in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Gwynn and Chris, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris L.O., Matthew Scraby, Charlie Hoffman will join us in the next segment. Give us a little update on where the state of golf is. Of course, Bryan DeChambeau able to win Bryson. The last tournament. What did I say, Bryan?
Yeah, he's sorry. Bryan DeChambeau's related to Jeff Goff.
Jeff Goff. Yeah. Right.
Yes,
who was it last week?
Jeff and Bryan are pretty tight, aren't they?
Yeah.
Nonetheless, Padres off day to day, back in action against the Rangers starting tomorrow. 3-game set, first time in this new ballpark for myself and Jesse. We didn't get to come in 2020 because
it was the COVID year, right? This is where correct me if I'm wrong. This is where Slam Diego was born.
Yes, it was.
It started in Texas.
All right. Well, it was. No. Is that not another
that
way of saying it was boring?
Boring.
No, I wasn't asking. I was asking a question more than just saying like a statement.
Well, it sounded like a question.
It was the Rangers.
Like a statement.
It was the Rangers because that was when Fernando hit the 3-0 home run.
Oh, and this is when
yes. And then they
Chris
hit a bunch
Wood
of,
for Chris. My man Woody had to backtrack after he came out. I don't know if he backtracked, but the baseball world backtracked on him quick because it was like. People were all upset that Toddy, swung 3-0, I think
yeah,
it was.
Swung 3-0.
Six-run 6-run game, 7-run game, and like overnight it changed. It felt like it was like everybody was mad to like we all went to bed and woke up the next day, and everybody was mad at Chris the following day. He was the manager for the Rangers.
I thought you were talking about this Chris Woodward. For some reason.
No, Woodward.
You just assumed they were mad at me because that's a normal reaction. Is what you were thinking.
Everybody, this is when the whole idea of let the kids play, I felt like really started to bubble at this point.
This is where
a lot of the baseball lines I felt like are the, no, not the baseball lines, the unwritten rules really started to get put under the microscope in 2020, I felt like.
Now, mentioning Eric Hosmer is a sin on the station and the show, but his podcast, they talked about all of this. Jace Tingler and that. I'm just going to say go listen to his podcast for the full story, but it sounds like that was a turning point in that clubhouse between the players and Jace Tingler, just because Jace didn't have their back.
Jace said that Fernando Tatis Jr. owed an apology, basically.
I think he did without
saying so. You know, it's interesting, Tony. We talked about this very thing also on the roundtable the other day, and Ben Higgins brought up the fact that you could say that the Padres are kind of responsible for a lot of the new way that baseball has become. Now, I don't want to take, you know, all of the credit here, but it was Fernando that swung at the 3-0 pitch. And now I think if somebody swings at a 3-0 pitch and it's a grand slam, I don't really even know that anybody even makes mention of it. But back then, it was a controversial type of a thing. The other thing that the Padres, I think, did back around that time, and again, I think Fernando was at the center of this, was the swag chain. Whenever you hit a home run. Now we don't even think twice about it when somebody comes into a dugout after a home run and they roll him down the way in a shopping cart, or they or they put a halo on his head, or they,
or the samurai
or
hat.
He carries a Triton around. I mean, the optic in my mind of Mickey Mantle being pushed down the Yankee Stadium dugout in a shopping cart while carrying a Triton after he hits a home run is pretty laughable, but you know, that was then, this is now. And first, I think the Padres were kind of at the start of some of that.
First, I know we'd like to believe that we were at the start of the whole 3-0 swinging. It just, remember how that went down. Nobody was watching anything at that point. Toddy was like the hottest thing going in sports at the time. So everybody was paying a lot closer attention. And I think part of why that ended up being as big as it was because Jace handled it initially like he did. People, this is, you know, guys had swung 3-0 long before Toddy had, and there had been ramifications because typically, if we're being honest, everybody kind of agreed, you know, it was the wrong thing to do. So it never became a story. In this case, like I said, we went to bed thinking one thing. The following day, we woke up, and it was a completely different thing, and that's what made the story a little bit bigger. But I will say we definitely started the swag chain. I don't know that people have the fondest memories of the swag chain after a while, because it seemed like it's also connected with, you know, some bad times as well. But you're right. Padres were like the first to go like all in on the swag chains, because the swag chains really were only the football thing. I think Padres were the first to bring it to baseball.
That's where it started. You're right.
A turnover chain or something?
The turnover.
Turnover chain, exactly.
And then that became a turnover whatever. But yeah, I mean, if it wasn't for the pod, I mean, because every team now has their own.
They got their own
gimmick, own little thing
sure.
now in the dugout. And that never happened before. So Fernando Tatis Jr., he's a game changer.
The swag chain is interesting because it is a prop that, like you, it doesn't work if you're like losing a lot. Like if
What do the Rockies do when they hit a home run? Just kind of slink into the dugout.
They look around,
hope nobody notices.
I mean, early in the season is cool, but like if you're losing still as you get into August, and you're down 5-0 and you hit a homer, it's just kind of weird to come in there spinning the chain and you're down 5-1 still, right?
I took calls on the post-game show about that.
That ended up kind of, you know, working itself out, you know, as time went on. But, man, that 2020 year was kind of crazy. It was, I mean, there was nothing popping, but it was like baseball, like empty. Do you guys remember? Do I need to bring up the cardboard cutouts? I mean,
Fernando, I believe, destroyed one of those on one of the home runs he had in Texas. It like took a 10
off. I think he decapitated one. You're right.
He did.
You're right.
But that was that. It all comes back to that series in Texas, though, where all of this stuff kind of started. Slam Diego was definitely born, and that was where they played the Dodger series in the playoffs, and that was also where Rob Manfred.
Corey Seager, how do you feel?
Why did I bring that up? And Scraby's going to be talking like this the rest of the day.
he's never going to live that down on this show.
Not on this show. He's not. No. We're going back to Texas.
All right. We are back in Texas. Padres looking to keep the good times a rolling. I didn't even get to give you some of the Manny Machado and Ha-Sung Kim and Jackson Merrill numbers because we got sidetracked. But anyway, we need to get to break. Charlie Hoffman, PGA Tour vet, looks to join the show here on the other side. So let's get to break. Full four with myself, Chris Ello, and Matt Scraby here on Gwen and Chris.
Show is underway. Gwen and Chris, 2:39 is the time. Welcome back to it. Chris Ello. I got the crazy soccer fan on the other end of the phone here in Dallas. Tony Gwynn Jr. is watching a penalty kick matchup?
Yes, Euro 2024 round of 16.
Mm.
Ronaldo about to take his PK, stutter step. Ooh, nailed it. 1-0.
Portugal's playing. Who are they?
They're playing, I think it's Slovenia.
Slovenia. Oh.
I think so.
Good old Slovenia. All right.
Is that SVN?
Yes. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
You're asking me these things. I don't even know how the penalty kicks. I just know you kick it and try and put it in there. I don't know how the whole thing goes.
I was asking about the abbreviation of Slovenia.
I know.
No, it's Slovenia. It's Slovenia.
All right.
They just put the whole thing up. So
Slovenia and Portugal. You won't miss the outcome. Tony is all over that. Gwen and Chris, it's a very quiet day in baseball. Actually, only three games the whole day. Astros just sent Josh Hader to the mound in Toronto, trying to protect a 3-0 lead over the Blue Jays. Nice to see that Josh Hader is available today. Apparently, a rain delay forced him from participating yesterday in New York.
He warmed up too much.
All right. We'll leave Josh Hader alone for now.
Let this man live. He's not here anymore.
He's not here anymore. Our guy Charlie Hoffman is here, though, and we just love it when Charlie comes on the show. PGA Golf Tour professional, Poway Zone, and nice enough to spend a little time with us here on this Monday afternoon. Charlie, how you been? Good to talk to you, sir.
All good. Enjoying a nice week off here in sunny San Diego. Nice to see the June gloom sort of go away.
June gloom has gone away. We've also, we've given way to July 1st. First of all, I want to ask you about this tournament yesterday. I don't know if you saw this, the Rocket Mortgage tournament in Detroit. And, you know, as a professional golfer, you probably have a feeling like no other when you see something like this happen. Akshay Bhatia, is it? And he's got a 30-foot spot, needs a 2-putt to force a playoff. And then the second putt was 4 foot, 3-4 footer, and it lipped out. Cam Davis gets the win. Cam Davis even said he wouldn't wish that on anybody, even though he was the winner. How much pain is that for some? I mean, I don't know that the guy sleeps for a month after missing that one.
Well, if you play golf long enough, we've all been there. Akshay is obviously one of our younger, brighter stars on the PGA Tour, and he played some phenomenal golf. I happened to catch literally maybe the last hole or two of that golf tournament. I was down hanging out with the family down by the beach, but you know what? It's one of those, the guy played so amazing, had a three putt all week, and then not that all he has to do is two putt, because that first putt was, the TV doesn't do justice on that green, how much undulation there is on that green. So the putt he missed wasn't an easy putt. Now, he should have probably, that first putt should have been a little bit closer, but it's one of those, you want to win golf tournaments, you never want to lose them. I've lost some, I've won some, but he's obviously going to be kicking himself because he played some amazing golf and he didn't get a chance to go a few extra holes with Cam, and Cam was the beneficiary of it.
Charlie, I feel like every time we have you on, especially lately, we've had to ask, like, you know, kind of tough golf questions, state of golf. So I'll start a little different this time. Padres playing some good baseball. Are you following them right now? How are you feeling as a Padre fan watching this team play some better baseball?
You know what? I took the family to a game a few weeks ago against Oakland, and it was a blast, and they won in a walk-off fashion. It was one of those walk-off wins, and it was a fun to be part of. And then they went on their losing streak. They went on the road and went on the losing streak, and then they caught some fire afterwards. So to say the least, I try to stay engaged via being on the East Coast and doing playing golf for a living. I don't rarely catch live games, but it's fun to watch them play some decent baseball and hopefully get a run for the playoffs, because I think our team's pretty dang good, and it's I think got the power to go long distance in the playoffs.
Charlie Hoffman, our guy on the PGA Tour, our guest here on Gwen and Chris. And Charlie, I'm going to follow up with another short putt question.
Well, you guys missed it. Portugal just won.
Oh, thank you. I'm sweating it out on the edge of my seat here. Got both of you guys watching this Portugal soccer thing.
I couldn't find it on TV in the break.
Yes, Gravy couldn't find it on our TV. He doesn't know where it is. So, well, thank you, Charlie, for the update. And Portugal is thankfully through to the Euro quarterfinals. That is great news. That is great news. But I'm going to ask you about another short putt, and that's Rory at the U.S. Open. And I know maybe we like to try to make Rory out to be the bad guy, but did he owe it to us? You know, we're there, the media I'm talking about, we're there when he wins, we're there, you know, when things happen. You know, he missed it. I can totally get how frustrating it had to be, but was that the right move, or do you understand him kind of just getting out of there and heading for the hills after that U.S. Open?
I'm trying to figure out a way to answer this question without becoming some sort of viral sensation. There's a period of time where you couldn't keep the mic out of Rory's mouth about what he wanted to talk to her in the state of golf and the PGA Tour. And then when I would say the most candid time in someone's life when you should answer those questions, because there's a reason why we're making millions of dollars, and it's because of media. And yes, he does owe it to the fans. And yes, he does need to do with that interview. Like I said, I've never lost the U.S. Open. I've lost golf tournaments, but yeah, you owe it to everybody to do that. And that's just part of the gig, is to answer the hard questions and the hard times. And that's why people tune in to watch. And that's how you have fans, and why you have fans. And unfortunately, he did not do that. I'm sure if I talked to him or someone else talked to him, he probably wish he had a mulligan on that and had a redo. But, I think he should have answered those questions, no question.
Fair enough.
Certainly wasn't the first guy who's ever lost a big tournament like in the fashion that he did. And at least to my recollection, all of them stood in front of those cameras afterwards. It was a little disappointing to see it go down like that. But, you know, Charlie, I got to ask you, in terms of, you know, the PGA, LIV, where are we at with the state of the PGA right now? You know, Bryson DeChambeau wins that U.S. Open. obviously on the LIV roster. Does that matter? Where are we at in the state of PGA? Let's start there.
Yeah, we'll go back 1 second. When media is, I will say, of the purses, not of Rory's revenue, is nearly 70% of the purses is our media contract. You owe it to the media to do back to what he should have done. So you got to know where you're getting fed from. So, but on the note of the LIV and the PGA Tour, thank God since Jan 1 I've been off the board, and I thought it would get easier for these guys once everything was going on. But it seems to be just getting harder and harder. But I know they're in, obviously, I know as much as probably you guys know as the media knows, they're in discussion. There is talking going on, which, I believe it or not, I slowed down a lot of last year. Obviously, there's not much to report on that in the last year, but we have a great partner with SSG, which is enabling us to, I would say, hopefully partner with PIF and come up with a strategic plan to be partners going forward, because I think if you break it all down, what's best for the game of golf in the world is for all of us to be together and play under one umbrella, not be separate identities. Where are we at with that? I don't know, but I think after the period of time that Liv's going on and producing a product, there's not a lot of, I mean, it's gaining momentum, but not a ton of momentum. The major championships, I personally think, have gained from them. They could argue that they lose some of those Liv players because not of world ranking points and so on and so forth, but their top players are playing the majors. And it gives a spike to the major championship that's already had a spike. I mean, people want to watch us all play together. So more people are even tuning in, or I would say in general, to the game of golf during the major championships. Our ratings are pretty stagnant, not going up, not going down, I would say, for the most part. But it's something that to gain our fans back and the loyalty of our fans, I think we sort of need to be together and put the best product out there for you guys to watch. We're entertainers. I mean, we're competitors, but I mean, the reason why we make money, I mean, we're all competitors, but the reason why we're playing for the millions of dollars is because of the fans watching it and the engagement that we have with them. And I mean, what Bryson did was riveting with the fans. I mean, he sort of turned over a whole new leaf from when he was on the PGA Tour, the LIV Tour, and he's engaged probably more than anybody on the PGA Tour right now. And it was great to watch him embrace all the fans and do what he did and show the emotion he showed. And then, and I'm a golf fan also. I'm a player, but I'm a fan. And it was great to watch. And I obviously, like you said, you didn't want to see Rory miss a 3-footer and him win it that way. But Bryson went out and won that golf tournament. He got up and down from four, probably the hardest. If you ask every professional golfer, the hardest shot in all of golf is a 50-yard bunker shot. And he stuffed the 6 feet in U.S. Open conditions and U.S. Open pressure. You got to take your hat off to that and say, well done, Bryson. And then the way he answered the questions and his interviews were great. So I guarantee Bryson all of a sudden earned a lot more fans because of that performance than Rory did, that's for sure.
Yeah. Scraby's been a Bryson hater for a long time.
And now, thanks, Chris.
He's coming along.
And a Rory lover, too, at the same time.
And a Rory lover, yeah.
We're going to put me in a weird spot.
We're going to flip-flop you here, as you should. Charlie Hoffman is with us. Charlie's had a couple of top tens this year on tour, and you know, I mean, I think that's remarkable. You've been in the game for so long, Charlie. I mean, 47 years old is, you know, that's.
I'm old.
Yeah, well, I'm flat out old. You're still a young man as far as some of us are concerned, but yeah. In the game
of professional sports, I'm old. I mean,
there's no doubt. In professional sports, and I mean, to have two top tens, and you talked about you just wanted to be healthy. You just wanted to feel good.
Yep.
Where are we here as we hit the midway point of the season? I mean, are you still holding up good?
I'm holding up good. My team that I've established through trainers, chiropractors, swing instructors, we're all kicking on all cylinders. Everything's great. It's actually it's been good. Traveling is usually my hardest part. I think we figured something out with some new gadgets while I fly to keep sort of the blood flow going and everything going, and it's really worked out as of late. So I feel healthy. I mean, just life in general. I mean, I was out on the water this morning on the jet ski with my daughter wakeboarding and no pain. Usually sitting down is pain. Going over bumps is pain. Zero pain whatsoever.
That's awesome.
I feel great. Now that could change tomorrow night because I've been through this before. But as of right this second, everything's great. And I'm looking forward to going. I took this week off to sort of strategically hang out with the family. As I say, you can't buy memories, and you got to make them. So nope. Spending time with the family during the summer here in San Diego, and I'm trying to play golf competitively, but most importantly, make sure my kids remember me and have a great time during the summers when we can spend some time together.
Yeah. Well, we really appreciate you taking some time out to hang out with us. Don't pull a muscle answering this last question, Charlie, but I am playing Torrey Pines for the first time ever on Friday, and I got to be honest. I mean, I'm pretty freaked out about it.
Freaked out?
I am. I don't know why.
It's a golf course.
Yeah, well, but you've seen me on, you know, certain courses. Things don't always go my way. I mean, I think I'm good enough to play a little over bogey golf, but just give me anything I can take with me out to the course Friday, Charlie. It'll be forever appreciated.
You know, Torrey, are you playing the South, I assume?
Yes, we are, yeah. Right? Yeah, we are.
The South golf course is a U.S. Open caliber golf course. Now, the rough's, I assume, not going to be up. I haven't been out there since January or February. So what you want to do at Torrey, it's actually not that demanding of a golf course off the tee, I would say. I mean, it's a long golf course. So if you play the correct tee, so you don't need to play all the way back and make a play, whatever, 7,500 yards, whatever it is. Just go out and pick the correct tee. But most importantly, the greens are structured very hard to almost repel balls, and like there's back little shelves. Hit to the center of the green. Don't worry about where that pin is, and try to make a putt from the center of the green. Because getting up and down around those greens is sometimes challenging. So I wouldn't try to challenge those pins too much, and just try to hit those center of the greens and hopefully make a couple long putts for birdie.
Ah, man, I made a long one today, and I think that used it up for the week. I'm okay. A little worried about that. Right.
Can you explain bogey golf? Now that we have a professional golfer,
hold
on.
You made a long putt. You made a long putt. You used it for the week or the year?
Maybe the year. Confused. This one was long enough, so maybe I use it for the year. I think you're right, Charlie. Yeah, Matt gets mad at me because in my head I play bogey golf, so I add a stroke to every hole. And if I get a bogey, then I call it a par in my head.
Now, I say that's not a thing.
Matt gets mad at me for doing that, but I don't know. That's how I make my way around the course. So I don't know what your thoughts on that are, but
your thoughts are whatever. You know your handicap, and that's what's great about the game of golf is if you keep a valid handicap, I could go give you X amount of shots, and we could have a great competition. That's what's great about if you're relevant. What par is for someone, I would say average golfers, but if you actually keep score, you can have a great round or a great competition with anybody, no matter what they're in. I like to gamble with the guys on the golf course, and I've had some of my best matches against a 17, a 14 handicap, because guess what? They're getting a shot on every single hole, and I've got to play my butt off. They make a par, it's a birdie. They make a birdie, it's an eagle. And so I really enjoy those sometimes those competitions amongst friends that are getting a ton of strokes. It makes me sort of, every shot means something, because if you make a par, I've got to make a birdie. But so your thought process is fine, but I would challenge you to maybe try to make some pars for birdies, not just bogeys for pars.
Yes. One of these days. One of these days. One of these days. Maybe not Friday, but maybe the next time after that. Charlie, thanks so much for joining us. Have a great, happy 4th of July. And, you're welcome anytime. So, you want to check in, just give us a call. We'd love to have you on. And good luck. Enjoy the week with your family.
Thanks, fellas. Enjoy the 4th also, and we'll talk soon.
There he goes. All right. Thanks. Charlie Hoffman right there. Our PGA Tour guy talking some golf and some pointed comments, but fair about Rory McIlroy. I
love having Charlie on. Love having Charlie on because he even though he may not be comfortable answering questions, he always answers.
He does.
He always gives. And what he said
always gives a good answer too.
What he said about Rory was spot on. I mean,
yeah. Now it's up to you to tweet that out so he gets in the maximum amount of trouble.
No, he said he was trying not to. He was going to answer in a way that wouldn't create viral sensation.
Show is underway. It's Gwynn and Chris. 2:39 is the time. Welcome back to it, Chrisello. I got the crazy soccer fan on the other end of the phone here in Dallas. Tony Gwynn Jr. is watching a penalty kick matchup?
Yes, Euro 2024 round of 16. Ronaldo about to take his PK, stutter step. Ooh, nailed it. 1-0.
Portugal's playing. Portugal. Who are they?
They're playing, I think it's Slovenia.
Slovenia. Oh.
I think so.
Good old Slovenia. All right.
Is that SVN?
Yes. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
You're asking me these things. I don't even know how the penalty kicks. I just know you kick it and try and put it in there. I don't know how the whole thing goes.
I was asking about the abbreviation of Slovenia.
I know.
No, it's Slovenia. It's Slovenia.
All right.
They just put the whole thing up. So
Slovenia and Portugal. You won't miss the outcome. Tony is all over that. Gwynn and Chris, it's a very quiet day in baseball. Actually, only three games the whole day. Astros just sent Josh Hader to the mound in Toronto, trying to protect a 3-0 lead over the Blue Jays. Nice to see that Josh Hader is available today. Apparently a rain delay forced him from participating yesterday in
New
York.
He warmed up too much.
All right. We'll leave Josh Hader alone for now.
Let this man live. He's not here anymore.
Our guy Charlie Hoffman is here, though, and we just love it when Charlie comes on the show. PGA Golf Tour professional, Poway Zone, and nice enough to spend a little time with us here on this Monday afternoon. Charlie, how you been? Good to talk to you, sir.
All good. Enjoying a nice week off here in sunny San Diego. Nice to see the June gloom sort of go away.
June gloom has gone away. We've also, we've given way to July 1st. First of all, I want to ask you about this tournament yesterday. I don't know if you saw this, the Rocket Mortgage tournament in Detroit. And, as a professional golfer, you probably have a feeling like no other when you see something like this happen. Akshay Bhatia, is it? And he's got a 30-foot spot, needs a 2-putt to force a playoff. And then the second putt was, 4 foot, 3-4 footer, and it lipped out. Cam Davis gets the win. Cam Davis even said he wouldn't wish that on anybody, even though he was the winner. How much pain is that for some? I mean, I don't know that the guy sleeps for a month after missing that one.
Well, if you play golf long enough, we've all been there. Akshay is obviously one of our younger, brighter stars on the PGA Tour, and he played some phenomenal golf. I happened to catch literally maybe the last hole or two of that golf tournament. I was down hanging out with the family down by the beach. But you know what? It's one of those, the guy played so amazing, had a 3-putt all week, and then not that all he has to do is 2-putt, because that first putt was, the TV doesn't do justice on that green, how much undulation there is on that green. So the putt he missed wasn't an easy putt. Now, he should have probably, that first putt should have been a little bit closer, but it's one of those. You want to win golf tournaments. You never want to lose them. I've lost some. I've won some. But he's obviously going to be kicking himself because he played some amazing golf and he didn't get a chance to go a few extra holes with Cam, and Cam was the beneficiary of it.
Charlie, I feel like every time we have you on, especially lately, we've had to ask kind of tough golf questions, state of golf. So I'm start a little different this time. Padres playing some good baseball. Are you following them right now? How are you feeling as a Padre fan watching this team play some better baseball?
I took the family to a game a few weeks ago against Oakland, and it was a blast, and they won in a walk-off fashion. It was one of those walk-off wins, and it was a fun to be part of. And then they went on their losing streak. They went on the road and went on the losing streak, and then they caught some fire afterwards. So to say the least, I try to stay engaged via being on the East Coast and doing playing golf for a living. I don't rarely catch live games, but it's fun to watch them play some decent baseball and hopefully get a run for the playoffs, because I think our team's pretty dang good, and it's I think got the power to go long distance in the playoffs.
Charlie Hoffman, our guy on the PGA Tour, our guest here on Gwynn and Chris. And Charlie, I'm going to follow up with another short putt question.
Well, you guys missed it. Portugal just won.
Oh, thank you. I'm sweating it out on the edge of my seat here. Got both of you guys watching this Portugal soccer thing.
I couldn't find it on TV in the break.
Yes, Scraby couldn't find it on our TV. He doesn't know where it is. So, well, thank you, Charlie, for the update. And Portugal is thankfully through to the Euro quarterfinals. That is great news. That is great news. But I'm going to ask you about another short putt, and that's Rory at the U.S. Open. And I know maybe we like to try to make Rory out to be the bad guy, but did he owe it to us? You know, we're there, the media I'm talking about, we're there when he wins, we're there, you know, when things happen. You know, he missed it. I can totally get how frustrating it had to be, but was that the right move, or do you understand him kind of just getting out of there and heading for the hills after that U.S. Open?
I'm trying to figure out a way to answer this question without becoming some sort of viral sensation. There was a period of time where you couldn't keep the mic out of Rory's mouth about what he wanted to talk to her in the state of golf and the PGA Tour. And then when the most candid time in someone's life when you should answer those questions, because there's a reason why we're making millions of dollars, and it's because of media. And yes, he does owe it to the fans. And yes, he does need to do that interview. I've never lost the U.S. Open. I've lost golf tournaments, but yeah, you owe it to everybody to do that. And that's just part of the gig, is to answer the hard questions and the hard times. And that's why people tune in to watch. And that's how you have fans. And unfortunately, he did not do that. I'm sure if I talked to him or someone else talked to him, he probably wish he had a mulligan on that and had a redo. But, I think he should have answered those questions, no question.
Fair enough.
Yeah, certainly wasn't the first guy who's ever lost a big tournament like in the fashion that he did. And at least in my recollection, all of them stood in front of those cameras afterwards. It was a little disappointing to see it go down like that. But, you know, Charlie, I got to ask you, in terms of, you know, the PGA, LIV, where are we at with the state of the PGA right now? You know, Bryson DeChambeau wins that U.S. Open, obviously on the LIV roster. Does that matter? Where are we at in the state of PGA? Let's start there.
Yeah, we'll go back 1 second. When media is, I would say, of the purses, not of Rory's revenue, is nearly 70% of the purses is our media contract. You owe it to the media to do back to what he should have done. So you got to know where you're getting fed from. So, but on the note of the LIV and the PGA Tour, thank God since Jan 1 I've been off the board, and I thought it would get easier for these guys once everything was going on. But it seems to be just getting harder and harder. But I know they're in, obviously, I know as much as probably you guys know, as the media knows, they're in discussion. There is talking going on, which, I believe it or not, I slowed down a lot of last year. Obviously, there's not much to report on that in the last year, but we have a great partner with SSG, which is enabling us to, I would say, hopefully partner with PIP and come up with a strategic plan to be partners going forward. Because I think if you break it all down, what's best for the game of golf in the world is for all of us to be together and play under one umbrella, not be separate identities. Where are we at with that? I don't know. But I think after the period of time that LIV's going on and producing a product, there's not a lot of, I mean, it's gaining momentum, but not a ton of momentum. The major championships, I personally think, have gained from them. They could argue that they lose some of those LIV players because of not world ranking points and so on and so forth, but their top players are playing the majors. And it gives a spike to the major championship that's already had a spike. I mean, people want to watch us all play together. So more people are even tuning in, or I would say in general, to the game of golf during the major championships. Our ratings are pretty stagnant, not going up, not going down, I would say, for the most part, but it's something that to gain our fans back and the loyalty of our fans, I think we sort of need to be together and put the best product out there for you guys to watch. We're entertainers. I mean, we're competitors, but I mean, the reason why we make money, I mean, we're all competitors, but the reason why we're playing for the millions of dollars is because of the fans watching it and the engagement that we have with them. And, I mean, what Bryson did was, riveting with the fans. I mean, he sort of turned over a whole new leaf from when he was on the PGA Tour, the LIV Tour, and he's engaged probably more than anybody on the PGA Tour right now. And it was great to watch him embrace all the fans and do what he did and show the emotion he showed. And then, and I'm a golf fan also. I'm a player, but I'm a fan, and it was great to watch. And I obviously, like you said, he didn't want to see Rory miss a 3-footer and him win it that way, but Bryson went out and won that golf tournament. He got up and down from four, and probably the hardest, if you ask every professional golfer, the hardest shot in all of golf is a 50-yard bunker shot. And he stuffed the 6 feet in U.S. Open conditions and U.S. Open pressure. You got to take your hat off to that and say, well done, Bryson. And then the way he answered the questions and his interviews were great. So I guarantee Bryson all of a sudden earned a lot more fans because of that performance than Rory did, that's for sure.
Yeah. Scraby's been a Bryson hater for a long time.
And now thanks, Chris.
He's coming along.
And a Rory lover, too, at the same time.
And a Rory lover, yeah. We're
really putting me in a weird spot.
We're going to flip-flop you here, as you should. Charlie Hoffman is with us. Charlie's had a couple of top tens this year on tour, and you know, I mean, I think that's remarkable. You've been in the game for so long, Charlie. I mean, 47 years old is, you know, that's.
I'm old.
Yeah, well, I'm flat out old. You're still a young man as far as some of us are concerned, but yeah. To finish
in the game of professional sports, I'm old. I mean, not in the game of life, I'm not.
There's no doubt. In professional sports, and I mean, to have two top tens, and you talked about you just wanted to be healthy. You just wanted to feel good.
Yep.
Where are we here as we hit the midway point of the season? I mean, are you still holding up good?
I'm holding up good. My team that I've established through trainers, chiropractors, swing instructors, we're all kicking on all cylinders. Everything's great. It's actually it's been good. Traveling is usually my hardest part. I think we figured something out with some new gadgets while I fly to keep sort of the blood flow going and everything going, and it's really worked out as of late. So I feel healthy. I mean, just life in general. I mean, I was out on the water this morning on the jet ski with my daughter wakeboarding and no pain. Usually sitting down is pain. Going over bumps is pain. Zero pain whatsoever. I feel great. Now, that could change tomorrow night because I've been through this before, but as of right this second, everything's great. And I'm looking forward to going. I took this week off to sort of strategically hang out with the family. As I say, you can't buy memories, and you got to make them. So
nope.
Spending time with the family during the summer here in San Diego, as I'm trying to play golf competitively, but most importantly, make sure my kids remember me and have a great time during the summers when we can spend some time together.
Yeah. Well, we really appreciate you taking some time out to hang out with us. Don't pull a muscle answering this last question, Charlie, but I am playing Torrey Pines for the first time ever on Friday. And I got to be honest. I mean, I'm pretty freaked out about it.
Freaked out?
I am. I don't know why.
It's a golf course.
Yeah, well, but you've seen me on, you know, certain courses. Things don't always go my way. I mean, I'm, you know, I think I'm good enough to play a little over bogey golf, but just give me anything I can take with me out to the course Friday, Charlie. It'll be forever appreciated.
You know, Torrey, are you playing the South, I assume?
Yes, we are,
The South golf course is a U.S. Open caliber golf course. Now, the roughs, I assume, not going to be up. I haven't been out there since January or February. So what you want to do at Torrey, it's actually not that demanding of a golf course off the tee, I would say. I mean, it's a long golf course. So if you play the correct tee, so you don't need to play all the way back and make a play, whatever, 7,500 yards, whatever it is. Just go out and pick the correct tee. But most importantly, the greens are structured very hard to almost repel balls, and like there's back little shelves. Hit the center of the green. Don't worry about where that pin is, and try to make a putt from the center of the green, because getting up and down around those greens is sometimes challenging. So I wouldn't try to challenge those pins too much, and just try to hit those center of the greens and hopefully make a couple long putts for birdie.
Ah, oh, man, I'm so. I made a long one today, and I think that used it up for the week. I'm okay. A little worried about that. Right.
Can you explain bogey golf now that we have a professional golfer?
Hold on,
the
you made a long putt. You made a long putt. You used it for the week or the year?
Maybe the year.
Confused.
This one was long enough, so maybe I use it for the year. I think you're right, Charlie. Yeah, Matt gets mad at me because in my head, I play bogey golf, so I add a stroke to every hole. And if I get a bogey, then I call it a par in my head.
Now, I say that's not a thing.
Matt gets mad at me for doing that, but I don't know. That's how I make my way around the course. So I don't know what your thoughts on that are, but...
Your thoughts are whatever. You know your handicap, and that's what's great about the game of golf. Is if you keep a valid handicap, I could go give you X amount of shots, and we could have a great competition. That's what's great about if you're relevant. What par is for someone, I would say average golfers, but if you actually keep score, you can have a great round or a great competition with anybody, no matter what their hand. I like to gamble with guys on the golf course, and I've had some of my best matches against a 17, a 14 handicap, because guess what? They're getting a shot on every single hole, and I've got to play my butt off. They make a par, it's a birdie. They make a birdie, it's an eagle. And so I really enjoy those competitions amongst friends that are getting a ton of strokes. It makes me sort of, every shot means something, because if you make a par, I've got to make a birdie. But so your thought process is fine, but I would challenge you to maybe try to make some pars for birdies, not just bogeys for pars.
Yes. One of these days. One of these days. One of these days. Maybe not Friday, but maybe the next time after that. Charlie, thanks so much for joining us. Have a great, happy 4th of July. And, you're welcome anytime. So, you want to check in, just give us a call. We'd love to have you on. And good luck. Enjoy the week with your family.
Thanks, fellas. Enjoy the 4th also, and we'll talk soon.
There he goes. All right. Thanks. Charlie Hoffman right there. Our PGA Tour guy talking some golf and some pointed comments, but fair about Rory McIlroy.
I love having Charlie on. Because he even though he may not be comfortable answering questions, he always answers them.
He does. And what he always gives
a good answer too.
What he said about Rory was spot on.
Yeah. Now it's up to you to tweet that out so he gets in the maximum amount of trouble.
No, he said he was trying not to. He was going to answer in a way that wouldn't create viral sensation.
That's what he said.
Charlie Hoffman trashes Rory McIlroy on radio show.
You could do that. You won't do that, but you could.
He are you going to adjust your bogey golf now?
No.
He just said.
He's challenging me to be better, which is what I'm challenging myself to be better. But in the meantime, it sounds better
bogey
to
golf,
be
baby.
Plus two rather than
bogey
plus
golf,
22.
Baby. I'm gonna text. I feel like we're at this point now where I could text him and ask him if we could play golf in the off season. Us three together, so and Charlie, of course.
Us three, or you,
and Charlie,
you, Tony, and him.
Me, you, Tony, Charlie.
God, that's
here
scary.
We go. Daily Gambit next.